The makers of Camel Cigarettes present Dick Powell as Richard Dyer, private detective. Here transcribed is Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond Detective Agency. Diamond, that's the girl's best friend, you know.
Not this girl anymore.
Oh, Helen, hi.
Hi, you stinker.
Hmm?
Where were you all day yesterday?
Oh, well, you'll never guess what happened.
No.
9 o'clock City Hall. They told me I have to renew my license. Cost $200.
Go on, I'm listening, but I'm not sympathetic.
10 o'clock, my bank. Withdrew $2.35. The wad.
Well, big oaks from little acorns grow.
Exactly, that was the idea. So 11 o'clock, my broker's. Pawn, that is. Deposited typewriter, watch, ring. 1:30, Louis' barbershop.
A lie? You had a haircut 2 days ago?
And I was trimmed again. Louis' tip on the 7th should have been read backwards.
Rick, do you mean you still haven't renewed your license and you lost all the money you raised on your things?
Honey, not only that, I lost a lot of faith in Louis. What I need is a good client with $200, and I... Oh. This might be the one. She's wearing mink. And she's got nice black eyes.
Rick, I'll loan you $200. Tell her to take her eyes somewhere else.
Sorry, honey. The eyes have... Bye. Well, may I help you?
What's your name, Richard Dunn?
I'm thinking of changing it to Richard Zircon, but what can I do for you?
Will you work for me, please? Here, $300.
Lady, I'll die for you.
He was always so nice. Then this morning I met him at the house for coffee and told him what I found out.
Suppose you start from the beginning and we'll see what we can do about him.
Oh, no, I think they're so stupid. They were just using me. I've made a terrible mistake.
We all make mistakes.
I'm in desperate trouble, Mr. Diamond.
What's wrong with you? You're shivering.
Cab. Oh, it's from Brooklyn. It hurts.
What is it? What?
Help me, Mr. Diamond. Please. Please. Help me.
She fell into my arms, tearing at her stomach, as if she'd just swallowed hot water. She was still trying to talk when I let her down to the floor and ran up for some water. When I came back 5 seconds later, she was unconscious. And in another 5 seconds, she was dead.
But ain't Richard Diamond, defective detective.
And your name, Sonny?
Why, it's me, Otis, Sergeant Otis. You know me, Rick.
Oh, yes, yes, Sergeant Otis. I didn't recognize you there for a minute. You had an intelligent look on your face.
Oh, you think that's funny, don't you? Well, let me tell you something really funny.
Well, do.
Personnel division tells me if you don't get up $200 by midnight, you're going to be an ex-private detective.
One of the reasons why I'm here, Otis, old buddy. Now, on your lunch hour, trot out to personnel and tell them about the color of this.
Ew. Where'd you get all scratched?
My client.
But she's dead.
Well, go ahead, say it. She's dead. But dead or alive, she hired me and paid me, and I'm still working for her. Here, you can take it upstairs and cover my license fee for me.
Oh, all right.
Now, try to smile through those tears. There you are. 200. All counted. You won't have to take off your shoes.
Okay, I'll take it up for you. About that paint, Diamond. You know, I gotta see you.
Otis, there's smoke coming out of your ears. I told you that would happen if you ever tried to think for yourself. Now, where's Levinson?
Lieutenant's across the hall in the medical examiner's office. I'll go get him.
Never mind, I'll do it myself. You might lose your way.
Oh! Hello, Rick. Glad you dropped by.
Hi, Walt. What did you find out about the girl?
Medics just finished with her. It was Xynethol killed her.
Xynethol? That's new to me.
It's a drug. Petrol base. Been in her stomach about an hour. Judging from the way she acted and talked, it could have been suicide.
What's her name?
Haven't made it yet.
Don't know who she is. He needs a new talent around here, Walt.
Well, there's no identification. Prints haven't lined up with anything yet. Too bad, huh? Real nice-looking kid.
I agreed. She was a nice-looking kid. The kind you wait all year long to ask her to sing your prom. Watching her die that morning hadn't been easy. It was like standing helpless in the middle of a sudden blizzard that wipes out the flowers of an early spring. When I got back to my office, I was still wondering who she was and how I could help her.
Hi, Ricky boy. I've been waiting for you.
Oh, hello, Bridgie. Isn't it a little late in the day to be cleaning up my office?
Oh, I finished swabbing it down a few minutes ago. I was just waiting to get...
Sorry, Bridgie. No canasta this afternoon. Don't feel like it.
Me neither. Gotta take my banjo lesson in half an hour. Waited around to give you this.
What's the...
Found this purse lying in your waste basket. One of your girlies must have knocked it off the edge of your bed.
Give it to me, will you?
Maybe that wore the mink coat I seen come in this morning.
It was hers, all right. The faint, sweet odor of her perfume still clung to it. But it wasn't the lipstick, comb, small change, and key that made it so heavy. It was the .32 revolver inside, three bullets recently fired. A driver's license told me her name was Doris Romano, and it gave an address. Nobody was home. The lady next door dropped her mop long enough to wheeze out where Mr. Romano worked. I twisted my way down an iron stairway into a furnace room. Doris Romano's father was taking huge bites out of a coal pile with an outsized shovel. I told him his daughter was dead. He slammed the furnace door and threw down the shovel.
I know someday I will do this. You look like a nice young man. Like my two daughters once a nice young ladies. They went away from me a long time ago and I'm left here. There was nothing I could do. There is nothing I can do. It's as if they never were. It's better that I go on shoveling until there's no more coal and I die too. I'm better dead.
I took Mr. Romano down to the coroner's office and he identified her body. Later, I told Walt about the purse and turned it over to him. Everything but the .32 and the key. Maybe it was the wrong way to play it, but somehow I felt I could still give Doris Romano the help she'd wanted. She said that she had taken a taxi from Brooklyn. So Diamond went to Brooklyn. I don't know how many cab stands there are in Brooklyn, but I can tell you where you can find 104 of them.
Sorry, bud, I got a fare.
Where, under the floorboard?
In there, eating.
I'm looking for information. Here.
Gum boots, huh? Who's getting cheated?
Did you carry a brunette and a mink coat all the way to Manhattan sometime this morning?
Maybe.
Where'd you pick her up?
Brooklyn, house on M Street.
What house?
How's a little old expense account?
Now, here's a fin.
Oh, no.
That's all there is. Only one to a customer.
Okay, I'll tell you about the house, but I won't tell you about the guy.
What guy?
You surely want to a customer.
Well, let's say we had a change in management. Okay, now tell me about the guy.
Tall, dark-haired, blue-suit kind. He was sort of chasing her when she climbed into my cab. Looked like a mash.
With spring still 2 months away? Come on, take me to the house.
It's the gray one, 900 block. Find it yourself like I told you. I got a fan.
I found the house easy enough. There was a for sale sign on it. The door was locked, so I walked around and back and peeked in the kitchen window. Then I remembered I still had the key that had been in Doris' purse. It worked. Inside, the odor of tar or printer's ink or something along those lines hit me. I was just starting to sniff around when a tall blue suit eased himself in through the kitchen door. He looked at me like I was breathing some air that belonged to him.
You could use your GI loan. You ought to buy it. It's a real steal.
No, thanks. I'm just looking.
Well, we charge for that, too.
Oh. Well, I don't think she'd like it.
Your wife?
No. Just a girl in a mink coat. Name of Doris Romano.
Where'd you get the key to this house?
From her. It was in her will. She's dead.
I'll get my black suit pressed.
I met a cab driver who said he knows you. Says you've been doing a chase scene with Doris Romano early this morning.
Mister, when I chase a girl, I catch her.
I suppose you've got a name.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Joe Riley. I own this house, so if you're a buyer, okay. If not, cop a heel.
Well, I'm not a buyer.
Then blow.
Oh, I didn't know Lugers came that big.
Mm-hmm. And they make holes to match.
Oh, I imagine so.
All right, Pilgrim, you got a name?
For me or you?
School isn't out yet. Just answer.
It's Richard Diamond, private detective.
She came to my office this morning.
What'd she have to say?
Nothing. She died of poisoning before she could say anything.
And the police?
They have her body and identification.
Well, goody for them. That all?
There's still you.
Any cop who wants me can find me listed in the book. I got a permit for this gun, and I haven't got a record. You see, Diamond, I could blow your head off for trespassing, but I'm a real nice guy, so just get out and forget you saw me.
Well, that won't be hard. Half an hour later, I picked up the evening paper, and the lead story stuck out like a white derby on an undertaker. It was about an unidentified man pulled out of the river that afternoon. The coroner had picked 3.32 slugs out of him.
What is it, Rick?
Well, about this guy they pulled out of the river. Anything on him?
Why?
Oh, just curiosity.
It's a terrible thing. Not just 3.32 slugs, but they'd been filed down the center.
Dum-dums?
Dum-dums. Tore the poor guy all apart. Everybody in the department's plenty sore. You want to see the body?
Some of the time. I know what it would look like. As I left Walt's office, I felt like I was standing on the trap door and the warden had just smiled at the hangman. But I had to take Doris Romano's 32 out of my pocket and look at it. The three remaining bullets were all filed right down the center. Dum-dums. Everybody had a right to be sore. Especially me. It was hard to picture my angel-faced client pumping dum-dum bullets into some guy and tossing him in the drink. But that's the way it looked. I had no choice but to turn the gun and bullets over to Lieutenant Walt Levinson for investigation. And the aftermath was something only a hurricane would understand. He acted like an historian who caught George Washington telling a lie.
Well, I guess this kind of proves who knows what who was talking about, doesn't it, Ray?
All right, so who's on first? Want me to tell you what's on second?
I want you to tell me anything, because I know everything now.
You know, they could use you in some very high official circles.
Go ahead, make jokes.
I didn't know I had.
A man is found in the river with dum-dum bullets in him. She's carrying the gun that did it. Her fingerprints were on it. And then she commits suicide. Remorse.
Ah, baloney. Why did she come to my office to die? Why, when she didn't even know me, was I the last person on the earth she chose to see if she committed suicide?
Dames in love want to make a big show. Publicity. Go out with a three-column spread.
Then why didn't she drop down on the city desk of the Graphic? They'd have printed the story in real blood. Hers.
You were a lot closer than the Graphic.
Now, Walt, I'm going to explain this to you patiently.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen women of every kind. Hard, soft, sweet, warm, cheap, treacherous, mean. But I've never known a woman to lie in your arms dying, look up at you, with the most innocent black eyes in the world, and ask you to help her after she had just come fresh from killing a man.
Psychology, I don't know. But evidence, I do.
She went to all that trouble to get rid of the body. Why didn't she get rid of the gun, too?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, Walt, this is the sweetest double-cross since the three-way stretch. Somebody planted the gun on her. Now, if you can keep it out of the papers, somebody's going to wonder why the gun wasn't found and come looking for it. Will you give that theory a try?
And I suppose you'll be waiting for them with a butterfly net.
I'll be waiting for them with a picture of that girl with black eyes in the back of my head. What do you say?
Well,
thanks, Walt. Personnel told me that the gun had been purchased by American Trust and Loan Company in 1941 and permitted to a bank messenger named Dale F. Bronson. The address was an apartment on 63rd Street. When I saw all the expensive cars out in front, I was thinking I should have been a bank messenger. When she answered the door, I knew it. Pure gold.
Well, hello. Tall, aren't you?
Oh, I do my best. Somehow I knew you'd belong to one of those cars out in front. Which one?
Longest low convertible. What can I do for you?
Oh, well, I'll rephrase the answer. I'd like to talk inside.
It's terribly early for me to receive strangers.
Oh, well, I sent my hourglass to the Sahara for a checkup. Besides, my watch is broken.
Run in. I'll see if I can fix it. I'm great with a swift movement.
It shows. Are you Mrs. Bronson?
Yes, my name's Kitty.
Kitty? Oh, nice. It's too bad I have to say this, but I'd like to see your husband. Preferably before he sees me and draws the right conclusion.
He's not here.
Expect him?
You're going to love this. No.
Where is he?
He's in a place where nothing matters anymore. Cemetery.
Sorry.
Don't be. He stuck his neck out and tried to be a hero one day. Somebody shot him and stole the money he was carrying.
You don't seem to miss him much.
He's still wearing black.
Right color, Kitty, but wrong cut.
It's a new philosophy I've worked out.
I understand he worked for the American Trust and Loan. They bought him a gun.
Don't tell me you're here to talk about guns. Who sent you? Field and Stream?
Well, this is a sort of collector's item. Recognize him?
No, should I?
It belonged to your husband.
You say it was my husband? I suppose it was. I don't know for sure. We only stayed together a year. He had a lot of things.
After he was killed, what happened to those things?
I don't know. He moved in with his mother. She probably disposed of them.
I'd like to talk to his mother. Where could I find her?
This just isn't your night. She's in the cemetery. Next to him. Heart failure.
Well, I'll wash up, get my pay, and go home.
Yes, who are you?
Richard Diamond. You can call me Richard Diamond.
Detective?
Fridays.
Arrest me.
Mm-mm. Not until you commit a felony. This is only a misdemeanor.
You're a sergeant?
5-star general. Run my own outfit.
Come here.
Hmm.
My application for the auxiliary. Pass?
Fail. If we ever open a recreation center, I'll let you know. Outside, where things were milder, I lit up a Camel and tried to think of something smart. Then I began looking around for a cab. And that was my first mistake. Two bulky forms slid in behind me, and we walked Indian file for a few steps. When we reached the alley, I turned around to see who it might be. Ooh! That was my second mistake. I didn't have time to make any more.
All right, Rennie. Drag him down this alley. Now, prop him up against the wall. I hope we don't chip none of these bricks with his head. Hey, Diamond, I know it's hard for you to see right now, but can you hear me?
You've got a lot of punch in that delivery.
Do you get it?
If I didn't get it before, I just got it then.
Yeah. I just got one thing to say. Mind your own business. Mind your own business. Mind your own business. Mind your own business.
I went out of business about 2 punches later. At the nice age later, a yellow cat with one bad eye began licking my face. I guess he thought I was something left over from Tooth Shores. When I dissolved back in, I was lying on a soft, white bed in police emergency hospital. Lieutenant Walt Levinson was leaning over me. He looked sad and puzzled, like he was trying to pick a lock with a wet hair.
Rick. Rick, it's me.
Oh, I can hear you, Walt. You've got a mouthful of firecrackers.
One of the radio cars found you lying in an alley. What happened?
That's a bright question. Are you going to rate a little sympathy?
Why should you? 9 times out of 10, you ask for it.
And get it. Now, look, Walt, there's an irritated tone in your voice that isn't on the scale. Ask somebody to get me my pants, will you?
You can't walk out of here in your condition.
I got work to do. My client still has a bad name.
Yeah, it's even worse now.
You know, besides being overconfident, you're overconfident.
Rick, that body with the dum-dum's been identified. His name's Sam Gulliver, Treasury agent.
Treasury agent?
Yeah, he'd been after your client for a couple of months for passing bad money. Looks like he moved in to make the pinch and she shot him.
Bad money? Bad money? Oh, Walt, what time is it?
11:45. Why?
Well, I guess I'm 15 minutes away from being out of business. I used her door to renew my license fee.
Well, I'd pay it for you myself if you could tell me who she'd been working with.
Dick, Walt, I know a gray house in Brooklyn that just reeks of printer's ink. And I know a guy named Joe Riley who's probably got some skin knuckles.
Oh?
Well, do I get my pants now? I filled Walt in with some of the details on our way over there. He took it pretty hard. But the thought of talking to a live suspect thrilled him, and I knew it would. We slipped down the alley and back to the place and cut our lights. The house was dark and quiet. No one stopped us when we let ourselves in the basement door. The smell of printer's ink was still strong.
Throw the flash over there against that wall, Rick.
Hey. A whole basement full of evidence. Plates, prints, machinery.
You hit it, Rick. Now all we need is Riley.
Just above us, the whole world began to explode. I took the stairs 3 at a time, walked right behind me. We ran to the front of the house, and from the window we saw a long, low convertible that looked familiar, speaking from the curb. I was making a lunge through the doorway when I tripped over a former acquaintance.
Hi, nosy. How's tricks?
Riley.
You must be made out of rubber. I thought I'd bounce you for at least 20 hours. We could...
I'll get an ambulance, Rick.
No hurry, Walt. You wouldn't know the difference.
I better get a pickup out on that car we just saw pull away.
I bet I find it before you do.
Huh?
You got a corpse here, Walt. Let me have my fun. I used the cab to get back over to 63rd Street. The same kind of expensive cars were still parked out in front. Only one of them, a long, low convertible, had a very hot radiator.
Oh, it's you.
Tell me how it's all, Aunt Kitty.
Well, I'd love to, but not right now.
I was kind of hoping we could have a drink. Got any hemlock?
I said later. I'm really tired.
I said now.
Well, you are eager. What do you want?
A poor dumb kid who knew she'd been used asked me to help her this morning. Just before she dropped dead. And I'm helping her.
I just happen to be fresh out of metals.
You shot Joe Riley less than half an hour ago. Now, don't reach for it, lady. I'd like a good excuse.
Let me go.
Doris Romano didn't know she was passing bad money for you and your boyfriend, Riley. When the agent tried to make the arrest, either you or Riley shot him. And then Doris knew the whole setup. And you knew she was scared.
Joe Riley poisoned her. I didn't do it. I didn't want him to do it. He was dumb enough to think it was clever to plant the gun in her purse.
But you didn't kill Riley for being so dumb. You had a better reason, Kitty. I talked to a coal shoveler in a basement this morning. He was bitter about both his daughters going wrong. One of them was Doris. The other was you. Those black eyes give you away right now.
All right. Look, I have a lot of money. Real money. Good money. Enough for two of us. We could do anything and go anywhere. Be a chance to stop gumshoeing around and be somebody. And Ricky, you know how I am. I can be nice. Awful nice.
That's what scares me, Kitty.
Now listen to me. They'll send me to prison. I'll grow old and ugly there.
If you're lucky.
Oh, Rick, please. Please let me go. I'll give you all the money. I'll do anything. Please. Please help me.
You know, lady, for a minute you sounded just like your sister.
Dick Powell can now be seen in the RKO picture, Cry Danger. Tonight's adventure of Richard Diamond was written by Don Michael Hayes and E. Jack Newman, with music by Frank Worth.